Hey everybody, on today's episode of the Cooligans, man, we talk about a lot. We talk about Mikel Arteta. Where are we exactly in your five-phase plan? Your five-phase plan. He has like a little bit of a different answer. I don't think we all agree on it.
And we also are joined by the one and only of the KC Current, Lo Labonta. We have a spectacular interview with her. You can enjoy that very, very much. We'll talk about NWSL Challenge Cup. Look forward to the NWSL season and recap a bunch of MLS matches. LA Galaxy, are they gonna figure this out? And we celebrate 10 years of NYCFC. So all this and more today on the Cooligans. So today I was rushing to get to the train. And obviously I live in New Jersey, so I'm New Jersey Transit. You miss the train, you're like,
it's an hour.
Yeah, like another hour.
It's so, like living off the G.
So I've been cutting it close, but I'm sort of proud of myself when I can get to a distance that it usually takes, like walking will take about like 9 minutes. But I can get running. I can get there in like 2.5, 3.
This is your thing. You like to beat Google Maps walking numbers. I add 4 or 5. You deduct.
No,
four
it's
or
not
five.
Even about beating the time. I'm just like, hey, I still got it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So, in my rushing to get to the train and getting all my stuff together to get out of the apartment, I forgot my wedding ring.
Ooh.
And this is...
instead of the train, you went the wrong direction. You ended up in a strip club. Is that what you're going to tell me?
That's right.
Oh, no.
I accidentally started a second family. But it is ever since being married, I think this is probably the second time. I've been married 2.5 years. This is the second time I've forgotten my ring. And it's like I didn't have a ring for most of my life. But now when I forget it, I'm like, there's something. I don't know what it is, but there's just something that it feels... wrong is not the exact word, but there's like a discomfort of like, I know I'm not gonna do anything.
Right.
But why do I?
But maybe my hand doesn't.
My hand is about to betray my wife.
Right? Well, also you get the indent, right? You get the you get the ring indent on your finger, so it's like a reminder of what should be there.
Right. Know? And I never like wore jewelry or anything, so this is the first like piece of jewelry I ever really wore, and it's just like there's a maybe this is a good sign of how much I value my marriage.
Maybe you don't need your wedding ring.
Maybe. Okay. Tell my wife that.
Have you thought about that?
No, I don't. I've never been a I hate wearing. I do. This the one thing I do notice. I don't like wearing my wedding ring at home.
I take it off as soon as I get home.
It's such a strange thing to be at home in the marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, hey, I'm married, lady.
Easy customer service rep.
Okay. My wife wouldn't be too happy with you hugging and kissing all up on me. Right?
I mean, have you told your wife that you forgot your wedding ring?
I have, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's the important move.
Okay. Sure.
You gotta let them know. Hey, if you see it at home, it's not because I'm in some dirt. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah, that's an important thing. But
I had a friend tell me they thought it was weird that I took my wedding ring when I went home. Like I took it off.
Okay.
I'm like, you shower with it? You do everything? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, I started taking it off because I would type on my computer. I'm like, what am I doing?
You're clacking on the desk.
On the MacBook. So I was like, this is ridiculous. So I started taking it off. He was like, all right, I don't know about that. And I'm like, I don't just have random, you know, ladies walking through my apartment. You know what I mean? Bing bong. Oh, I forget to wear the ring. Cleaning ladies.
So
here.
Just know if this show feels a little bit different,
a little
it's
racy
just you know, I just feel a part of myself is missing. That's all.
Or maybe people are like, this reminds me of one of the early episodes. Something about this.
What is he single? Damn. Get out of my DMs, everybody.
Why is Christian so much happier on this episode?
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero. Well,
apparently I'm newly single Christian Polanco.
Right.
Here with this no wedding ring.
Back to his maiden name.
exciting show. We have an incredible guest. We're gonna be joined a little bit later by the one and only the Selly Queen, Lo Labonta of Kansas City Current. Casey, baby, is that on?
I'm hitting the button. I don't hear nothing, but I'm hitting the button.
We'll sort it out
anyway
in the next segment. But
by the way, we're on.
Yes, we are on Yahoo Sports per usual.
Uh-huh.
And the NWSL season is starting in just a couple days this weekend. We just had the Challenge Cup. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
We'll talk to her in
but
a minute.
It's
if you want to hang out with her, she's about to be out.
Exactly. It's NWSL week to get you ready for the new season. So, we have another, and Dana Castellanos is going to be on Thursday as well. So, exciting week. Where to begin today?
Why don't we talk about our top topic?
Let's go.
But here's the important thing. Arsenal, they're having a rough season. Sure. It's not going exactly to plan. And rough is relative to what I think everyone expected out of Arsenal. And because of that, that's why they're our top topic.
Sure. The standard should always be higher year after year. And it sort of is, right? I think I believe Arsenal have gotten more points the last three seasons. Like, they've gotten more points than the previous.
Right.
But it's still not enough.
Not enough.
It is still second place because the other teams seem to do better than them. But
you would assume in a season where Manchester City struggles as much as they have, that would have opened the door for Arsenal to win. But here comes Liverpool being like, "What? It's actually our turn now."
Right. Look, Manchester United against Arsenal, a game where you'd think the second place team should really dominate, whether they're at home or away. But Arsenal, after scoring 7 goals in Champions League, the competition that they're playing against is a little bit different. So the interesting thing here is Mikel Arteta. That's what we have to talk about, because now we're getting to the point where, all right, where
questions
are we
being asked?
Where are we in this relationship?
Some tough questions are starting to be asked.
Okay, yeah. Where is your wedding ring, Mikel Arteta?
To this club.
Okay, yeah. How loyal are you? And as I would say, probably fans of other teams would look at Arsenal's situation and be like, "What if I would? It would be a blessing to be in that position, to have a team good enough to finish second place year after year." But that is not what Arsenal fans want, and they at the very least they should be similar to like kind of years past of just like being a little bit closer. This gap is I don't know if it says something about how good Liverpool are or how mediocre is not the word, but for the sake of just obviously always finishing second, how mediocre are Arsenal?
Right. He was asked about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mikel Arteta was asked about it. And I believe the quote was sort of when Mikel Arteta started, he talked about this 5-phase plan.
Yeah.
Right. You would assume each phase is a year, right? Is a season. So he was asked, "Hey, where are you on this 5-phase plan?" Which this is part of holding Mikel Arteta's feet to the fire. And you can tell he's starting to get a lot of uncomfortable questions. He actually rushed out of an interview when he was asked, "Is the 15-point gap between you and Liverpool?"
Dave Chappelle.
He was like, "I don't know what you're talking about, dog. Like, I didn't hear. No, I didn't hear you." Even though it's just us two in the small room.
About oil.
He said, "Where are you on the in the 5-phase plan?" And knowing the English media, it's still again count this against them in the future. He said phase 4 to 5. So I'm in between phases.
Okay.
The fifth year, you would assume we're in phase 5.
It's
but
like,
I don't know.
It's like a child when they're like, "Oh, you know, how old are you?" They're like, "I'm 6 and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm 6 and 3/4.
I'm a big boy." Well, he's actually trying to go the reverse way. It's like you ask a 50-year-old woman who's about to be, she's like, "I'm in my 40s.
He's like,
"For 2 more days."
You don't ask a manager what phase he's in.
Have some respect.
Show some class right now.
4 to 5. Yeah. It's like when I used to do a lot of self-tapes, they ask you, say your height. I'm like 5'10", 5'10 and a half. That's kind of what I would say every time. Never booked one of those. They hate when you do that, apparently. He said, and this is a quote, "Establishing yourself at the highest level in the Champions League, consistently perform with a lot of unity and being very close to touching big trophies." None closer than finishing second every year. You can say there was progress. Carter, if you're able to, can you pull up this year's Premier League table? Is that something you can pull up? Because this is, I think, an important way to sort of look at the framing of Mikel Arteta's job. Now, me, you would assume I'm a massive Arsenal fan. So, you know, I'm probably a little bit on Mikel Arteta's side. I've also been a big proponent of Mikel Arteta. I believe in Mikel Arteta. So this was, unfortunately, now because of the camera here, I can't really see. But this is this year's, correct? Okay, so if we look at last year's, So this is 2023 to 24. The first place is Manchester City. Where's Manchester City in this table?
Yeah, they're in fifth.
They're in fifth. Third place is Liverpool. They're clearly in first place by a lot. Mm-hmm. Aston Villa, they're in fourth. Where are they in this table?
They are seventh.
Okay. Tottenham is fifth. Where are they on this table?
Not even on the screen. Okay.
Not on the screen.
They're 13th.
Yeah, okay. Chelsea, where are they on this table?
Chelsea.
They were sixth.
They are fourth.
Okay. Newcastle, where are they on this table? They were seventh.
They are ninth right
now. Okay. Manchester United were eighth. Where are they on this table?
14th.
West Ham were ninth on this table last year. Where are they on this table?
They
this
are 16th
year?
Right
okay.
now.
Okay. So here's the thing. Other than Liverpool, which are having a stellar season with a new manager that has absolutely, I think, almost eclipsed what their previous manager was able to do
sure.
with the same squad. Because remember, Liverpool brought in nobody besides Chiesa randomly at the end, yeah. and he barely plays. So literally, he took the same squad that they finished third with, that Jurgen Klopp finished third, and he's got them playing lights out. Absolutely. Everyone else is struggling. Sure. Everyone else is falling apart. Arsenal have remained in second. No Arsenal fan is going to sit here and say, yo, this is good enough. But the narrative being that Arsenal are you know, absolutely collapsing, everyone else around them is falling apart.
Sure.
It just so happens this one team is doing so incredible that it makes what Arsenal is doing look so much worse. There are questions to be asked of Arsenal, one in particular. How could you continue to go winter transfer windows without buying a striker? What I think happened is the board looked at this season and said, bro, we ain't catching up to Liverpool.
Yeah.
Liverpool aren't going to lose enough matches. So why should we go out and spend a large portion of what we're of our budget that could net us a much better player in the summer? Why should we spend it on a player that's, even if they come in and are absolutely stellar, they're not going to get us over the hump?
Sure.
So I get the frustration with the fans. I'm on the same side as the front office here, if that's what they were thinking, because I don't think there's a way to catch Liverpool this year. And I know there were opportunities for us to catch up and catch up. As you could see, it hasn't happened. If we were a little bit closer in January, if it was a 3-point gap, if it was a 4-point gap, I would sit here and say, you know what? Maybe there's a chance. I don't think that's happening.
Yeah.
So I think, as far as where Arsenal are concerned, I think Mikel Arteta has done a pretty good job to maintain the status of where they were when everyone else around them has completely fallen apart, other than the one team. That said, you have a 5-year plan you told everyone about. Your fifth year has now passed. Okay, you've kept the ship stable. You've changed the front office. You've changed the culture of the club. The stands are in unity with what's happening on the pitch. The Emirates is louder than it's ever been. I go all the time. I haven't been many times this season, but in the past, I've been able to go so many times. We've seen a real shift from what used to be sort of a bit of a despondent, kind of distant, unattached stands to... They're singing about the manager. There's a song that people care about what's happening on the pitch. It's loud. It's a vibrant scene there. It switched from silence to that. Everything around it has gotten better. That said, Mikel Arteta has some real questions to ask, to answer. Are you the guy? You've gotten us to this point.
Yeah.
Great. Are you the guy that brings that trophy in? And I know he won the FA Cup in his first half season, but are you the one that wins the title? Do you have the tactical sense? Do you have the ability to inspire this team beyond what you've gotten them to? I can't answer that question because he hasn't won that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, bro, like at some point, like, yo, you did everything else, bro. You completely rebuilt this house. You did everything, blah, blah, blah. Can you add the deck though? Can you be that one who adds that extra piece? I don't know. And I think next season is going to be a real question. A lot of questions.
With
are going
to
get
the prices asked. Of lumber recently,
I don't know. Because first of all, eggs alone. I mean, I don't know what eggs you need in him building a house.
In this economy, how are we going to build this deck, man?
But you understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Like, yo, he got you here. Like, you know, you're an Everton fan. Yo, Sean Dyche saved you from relegation. That's not the guy to win you the title, though. And I'm not saying Mikel Arteta, Sean Dyche. Some managers come in and do a job. Yo, he did this job.
Yeah.
But now next season, bruh, what you mean? His quote was getting close to touching trophy. You need to lift that trophy. You need to lift a trophy.
You want to get to, you know, not just first base
with
these trophies. You really want
to. Get under the shirt, buddy.
Okay. Look, I think that's a great point as far as the stability that Arteta has brought. And yes, Arsenal are in these last 5 years, and him mentioning it's funny that he's like, well, the phase we're in is all the things that he's accomplished already. Do you know what I mean? It's not, it's like, It's just so conveniently all the positives, right? Not none of the negatives, but and you got to give credit because Arsenal missed Champions League for a long time, and he's especially this. See, I mean, you talk about the
just won 7-1 in Champions.
I know, but you talk about the distance that they have with Liverpool, and maybe the board was like, hey, we're probably not going to win it, so we're not going to get a striker, but. Why not get a striker for Champions League?
I agree. There's
there's still a possibility to win that. It's not impossible. So, in my opinion, you know, you give the example of Arne Slot going to Liverpool and taking over for Jurgen Klopp. And maybe that is like, I think that is an example and that might get the higher ups at Arsenal to be like, maybe we should move on. Maybe this. Yes, he has brought this stability and he has taken us to a place that
Jurgen Klopp changed the culture at Liverpool. The problem is he brought them a Champions League title and a league title.
Yeah, yeah.
So he will be heralded as much greater of a manager than Mikel Arteta. Again,
but coming from where Arsenal were before Arteta got there to now, it is very impressive. And it is a great example of like, look at all the other clubs that have been struggling and have been able to maintain that consistency over the last 5 years. So, but in my opinion, I wouldn't be shocked if in the summer they're like, hey, we're going to move on. I
would be shocked. I think he gets one more season with what his plan is. And after that, it's like, especially with a new sporting director coming in,
sure.
Which looks like they hired, or the rumor is that it's all set for, I think his name is Bertha. And apparently he was wanted by a lot of other clubs. So it seems like a big coup for Arsenal with this guy coming in. Let's see. Sporting director, one of their main jobs is to make sure that they buy the correct ingredients for the chef to cook.
Sure, sure.
So get the right players in for Mikel Arteta. They seemingly have a lot of money to be able to spend that they wouldn't have been able to have had they spent the winter. So now it's like, bro, now you got to do it. There's no more time. Now can't be phase 4.9. Where am I? Phase 4.9. Now, bro, you in 5 next season.
The last talking point of this game I want to make sure we get to is the Declan Rice goal, which is a fantastic goal. Timber gets him the ball and just...
Timber was wavy. Too. Yeah. He was cutting.
Gets him the ball. Great goal. But the celebration... Declan Rice runs over to, I believe it's in front of the Manchester United supporters and does a little bit like
silencer,
calm down, little shush. Yeah. And which is not necessarily a big deal. You scored a big goal, but the frustration I heard was mainly from Arsenal fans that, I had seen a clip on TikTok from Lee Gunner, who's just the angriest Arsenal
him
fan.
Him not liking something?
It's interesting the way people treat him, but because people, Arsenal fans are like, Arsenal fans hate him because he tells the truth. And which is fine. I mean, I think there's a very severe pessimism that he has.
I don't know if it's the truth. I think he just takes a contrarian...
Sure.
He takes whatever the negative tone is for everything.
That is totally. I'll adhere to an Arsenal fan. I'm like, okay, that's what it is, and that's what it is. As a neutral, I watch it, and I'm just like, he is. It's not even about pessimism. I think he's just a. I don't know, like mean is probably the best word. It's just like, no, not good. It doesn't matter.
It's like a self-hating Arsenal
fan.
It's
like a dad who's just like, yo, I'm never going to tell my son I love him. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what I get from him. And
that one hit close to home for a lot of us in the room, huh?
But I saw the clip of him reacting to the game, and he's just like, what are you doing? Like, and he's like, this is why I don't rate him. This is why I don't rate Declan. And this is my thing, and he wasn't the only person I saw comment about it, but I'm watching the goal, I'm watching him celebrate, and I'm like, yes, it's where Arsenal are in their season, shushing and doing all this stuff, and you see what the prize is, and you're trying to catch up to Liverpool. He was basically saying like he should be running in to get the ball and bringing back to the center circle to get the game started again, as opposed to celebrating and doing all this other stuff. And it's just an interesting thing to hear from Arsenal fans when Bruno Fernandes scores his goal, a great free kick. That even weirdly, I had seen an AFTV clip of the, I don't even know the guy's name, but the guy was like, that the referee put the wall 11.2 yards away as opposed to 10. And he was like, they measured it on Sky. And I'm like, bro.
That's crazy.
I mean, it was a great free kick, and I don't really know if that 1 yard.
Raya had a chance to stop it. The wall doesn't matter.
But seeing Bruno Fernandes celebrate that
massive knee slide,
slapping the badge, being like, I'm like, y'all are in 14th.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're going to, I understand Arsenal fans criticizing Rice for that reason because there's still a possibility to win the title.
Its argument is you're doing too much. It was a bit much.
But
I don't agree. I think, first of all, you never know which goal is going to be your last. So maybe a knee slide is a bit too much. But silencing after being jeered all match away from home against a bitter rival historically, I got no problem with Declan Rice celebrating.
It seems like Arsenal fans are saying there's a bigger picture. Like, we can't think about angry, you know, away supporters or angry fans at Manchester United saying anything. Like, think about the main prize. Why are you telling them, like, shush or whatever?
It just feels like frustration because even a draw, even a win wouldn't have been enough. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, a lot of these games are now just to stay in the top four.
Sure. It just feels like the Bruno's is way more ridiculous. They're in 14th, and he's going ham celebrating this goal, which is, again, I understand celebrate the goals, but then it's like it's interesting. Arsenal fans, I wonder if Manchester United fans criticize Bruno in the same capacity of like,
I think no, because he's clearly their best player.
Sure, but
you know what I mean?
It's an interesting discussion because I don't know where the Arsenal fans criticizing their own players for this particular reason and celebrating when they want to focus on winning the title versus Manchester United, that should be realistically a Champions League club and celebrating.
You're saying like, yo, we in 14th. Why are you celebrating?
All I'm saying is like, I wonder, like not even ethically, but like what do we, in general, how do we sort of navigate this? Like, Everton scoring a goal in 15th, I know why we're celebrating. We're getting away from relegation. Celebrate as much as possible. Manchester United doing it doesn't feel... Are they celebrating being away from relegation? If that's what it is, then, hey, that's the kind of club you are.
You sound like Roy Keane right now, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. You Keenan right now.
Tell me why you're celebrating.
Yeah, you Keenan a little bit.
So we can let us know. Your Premier League club, like, what is... What are the
appropriate time to celebrate?
Yeah, like... Yeah,
Protocol
on how we do this, but whatever. All right, let's move on.
For the record, I got no problem with Declan Rice celebrating. Celebrate.
Oh, all good. All right, let's get to our conversation with Lo Labonta, midfielder for Casey Current. This is a good one. This is you're gonna listen to this and you're gonna be like, hey, Lo, she has to be on a couple times a year.
Yeah,
she absolutely crushed it. So
she's got the energy of the third cooligan. I'm just saying, I'm putting that out there.
So here it is. Here's our conversation with the one and only Lo Labonta. This is a guest that has been just long overdue. When people think of our show, a comedy podcast around the sport of soccer, and they think of this person, it's one of those things where they're like, yeah, of course she's been on the show before. Bro, there's no way she hasn't.
The Venn diagram is just one circle.
Okay. You know, when we think of, some people say like, who's going to be the third cooligan? This is a potential person that you think of.
100%. Swing cooligan as well. One of us on vacation?
Potential cooligan, potential, I don't know, sister. Maybe she's just related to us.
Maybe just comedian. Whatever's in her heart after her playing career is done.
Just one of the most entertaining, lively, and just an absolute baller on the pitch.
And plays the game the way we love it, man. Just someone having a good time out there.
Exactly. Absolutely honored to be joined of the Kansas City Current, the one and only Lo Labonta. Lo, what's good? Let's go. We got you. Whatever you need. Okay.
Yo, what an intro. Yo, that is hype. I need you guys with my morning coffee. Like, that was so good.
We're going to start sending you uplifting voice notes. Yes,
okay. Please. Pre-game, we'll get you hype and get you ready for games. Lo, this is first, let me just start with this, because this has been, I've been waiting to say this for about 2 years. We met
Bro, you're both married. Don't do this. Don't go.
I need this moment.
Okay, what are you going to say? I'm like, yo, Chris, yo.
I just destroy my marriage. No. 2 years ago, about a little over 2 years ago, we met very briefly at the NWSL skills competition in San Diego.
Okay, I couldn't go, so you I don't even go. Know what's coming here.
So
okay.
I flew into San Diego and I missed like the first third of the skills competition. I just got there, and it was at the training ground for the wave and stuff like that. So. Really cool experience. I'm bumping into a bunch of other people in media that I know. I see the players, Crystal Dunn is there dancing and have a great time. And then after the skills competition is over, I step onto, the field where the competition was being held. And I'm, speaking to some players and stuff like that. And Lo is speaking, I think, to somebody else, and then walks up to me and she's like, "Hey, Cooligans." And I'm like, I just want to make it very clear. I do not think anybody knows who I am, what we do. It's always very flattering.
Important people, right? Every once in a while, we'll see like a guy who sells bubble gum on the train go, "Yo, you guys are cool again." And I'm saying, "These are my people." I get it. But when a player does it, we're like, "Oh my God, you know who we are?"
So I'm always very flattered. And I could not believe that you even knew like that we existed or whatever. And then you said, "Oh, Cooligans." And then you said, "Oh, you're on CBS, right?" And then I was like, "Oh, this happens all the time."
I can't believe this happened.
He's confusing me possibly for you. That's the first thought. I'm like, but there's no way we look very, very different.
Yeah, your first thing is fix the contacts.
If you drop it, I will help you look for your contact lens, Lo. And so I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I didn't do the thing of like, "Hey, I can't believe she's confused me for some." I didn't do that. But I did ask something that was very, I've never asked this to anybody. I didn't say, "Hey, do you know who I am?" which is like the arrogant thing. I said to Lo Labonte, I said, "Hey, Lo, who do you think I am?" Like, who are you confusing me with? Because I don't work at CBS. Alexis does. And then in my mind, I'm like, she can't think I'm Alexis. Does she think I'm Aaron West? That's literally the thing that came.
Or Charlie, crossed, maybe?
Or Charlie did. Imagine. So it led to I was joking around about it, but it was like slightly awkward. I didn't know if you knew I was joking or whatever.
Oh, so you're trying to settle the score.
I
like
just
it
wanted
wasn't
to make it very clear. I do not think highly of myself, as as you can tell from me being shocked that you even knew who I was. But that was just an awkward. That is not the first impression I wanted to give to Lo Labonte. Aww. So if I don't know if an apology is necessary. I'm just acknowledging that we're all good, and I hope it wasn't too weird.
Or you're gaining more weight than you thought you had since being a dad.
You haven't been in the sun and all that. No, I absolutely remember this moment because I, again, don't really know how the sports media world works. So I just assumed you guys were on CBS as well. I didn't know it was, just a podcast at the time. But sure. I knew who you guys were. But I was just like, I remember going up to you and you were like, "I don't think you know who I am, who you think I am." And I was just like, "No, I know." But yes, I will always remember that moment because like you said, like, you guys are fun, you're comedians, and we need that in soccer. So I immediately knew who you guys were. I've been following you for a while.
I guess, and that brings me to the question that I've been meaning to ask you for 2 years as well. No, I'm joking. Imagine we're airing all of our grievances here.
Her husband is called Red Card Roger. You know what?
No, I've seen my guy's abs. I'm not even pretending. In fact, I think I'm in love with him. That body is insane. My question for you is, where does your personality come from? Because we talk to so many players. I think on the men's side, they tend to be a lot more serious, or at least like maybe too flat affect. They don't want to show too much emotion. We found much bigger personalities on the women's side of the sport, but you stand out so much. Obviously, the celebrations is the first thing that people will notice about you, but I feel like that's just one of the symptoms of your whole personality. You brighten up every room you're in. Have you always been like this?
Yeah, 1,000%. My therapist would probably say like childhood trauma, but
same girl, same. Shout out to all the therapists out here. Yo, nobody hugged us, bro.
Exactly. But no, I mean, a lot of people don't know like all the things I've been through in life, but I won't let that hold me down, hold me back. So life is too short and you want to have a good time. You want to laugh. And that's always been me. And that's also why I think my career has been so long already, because I am enjoying it. I tell myself my body doesn't hurt and I'm going to laugh. So, you know, manifest that.
Smile through the pain.
I love it. I mean, when we're on stage and like maybe if we're doing a show and we're bombing, it's like, no, we're not bombing.
No.
This is a learning experience.
I'm like, that one guy's having a good time. So I got an audience of one right now.
You turn to the audience, you're like, you're the problem.
Yeah. Actually, one of my favorite comics who's passed away a while ago, but Mike DiStefano, he goes, you know what? If it's not working, he goes, you know what? I boo you. I did this set 3 other times tonight, and they all loved it. This is a you problem.
Bro, it's so funny you say that. I forget his name. I was seeing Dave Chappelle in Kansas City, but someone was opening for him. It was a comedian from New York, and nobody was laughing at his first, like, 5 lines, and he goes, well, they love me in New York. And then, like, walked off. And I was like, oh, no.
Nice. That I like to hear.
I wonder who it was.
Maybe Mo. Mo's not from New York, though.
I'm trying to think of who opens for Dave. Anyway, Lo, you know, I think it was evident 2 years ago and definitely now, we are huge fans of you. You are, like Alexis has mentioned, you are just an incredibly entertaining person and player. And the thing that was exciting was when you were a part of Offseason FC and reality series. Well, we had Midge and Taylor here and she was upset that we were Miss.
We kept calling it a reality show. She kept
Midge
correcting
being
us.
Upset? No way. Yeah. Never.
Or correcting people.
But it was so fun to watch. And
docuseries.
Docuseries. There we go. It was fun to watch, and I think a lot of people left that series maybe being like, Lola Bonds is my favorite character, or I connected with her a lot. But really what stood out to me, and it pretty much went viral, was your conversations about your pay and being the 11th highest paid player on the team.
Ridiculous.
While being in the NWSL Best 11, and you were just like, yo, this is what it is. And I don't know if it's, you know, you weren't looking necessarily for sympathy. You were acknowledging like, oh, well, Maria Sanchez getting paid quite well. The moments, especially you and Paige having this conversation of like, happy for them, but like, you know, it wouldn't happen.
A little bittersweet. Yeah.
Without us kind of laying the groundwork and stuff like that. So, that was a couple months ago, or maybe even a year ago when you filmed it, but what's it? How are we feeling about it now? Because now every time, I'll be honest, and I'm here to applaud you, but every single time I think of that moment, especially you having those conversations with Paige, and then I see like, you know, some sponsored content on the Instagram, I'm like, let's go. Get Lola Bonta paid right now.
We on the up.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, speaking of my husband too, he retired last year, so we're a one income household. So mama was out there working. I was out there shooting. I was like, come on, we want a good dinner tonight. We're going to sushi. So I'll do like 2 photo shoots, you know? No, but I think, you know, these are always, I'm never going to shy away from a conversation, and especially my reality. I've never been on the national team. So immediately when that happens, you know, your pay will usually go up. So I've just been out here, you know, fighting for the average NWSL player. It is going up. There are improvements. And you brought up Maria Sanchez, like being the highest paid at one point, I'm going to applaud you. Like, get your bag. How do we get these other players bagged? How do I, you know, get somebody?
just a little.
Working on that. Working on that. But no, I'm so proud when this happens, because as soon as Maria Sanchez got paid, you turn around, Mal Pugh got the next biggest, or Mal Swanson got the next biggest one. Trinity Rodman, So Smith, like it just raises the bar, and that's where you get the investment. So I'm so happy for that. But at the end of the day, like I tell my rookies, my first contract was $7,500, like $7,500 for the year. Mm. And people are like, how'd you live? And I said, oatmeal, like that's all I had. You got to struggle. So yeah, those are conversations people can't shy away from, because you have to have them in order to make it better. We have this new CBA. We're still fighting. So we're getting there. I'm hoping in my lifetime, but if not, it's all right for generations to come. We got you.
Have you thought about, because it feels like, especially in the women's game, there's a lot of pressure for those players that are in your position that are like really good, but maybe haven't gotten on the national team or haven't gotten that big contract. There's pressure to go play in other countries and in the offseason and almost really never rest your body and really just play through injuries and never let them fully heal. Have you felt that pressure? Especially with Europe seemingly calling in a lot of American players suddenly.
Yeah, and I love that other leagues are bidding, you know, for our best players, because that's going to raise the dollar amount here as well. So at that point, I'm like, go ahead, go there for a couple of years, get your bag, come back here, because I do think our league is the best league in the world, competitive-wise, against all the teams. So I'm never against someone going collecting some money. Somebody even just brought up to me, who's the Brazilian player that just left Orlando and went to,
North Carolina.
No,
North Carolina.
She went to play in Saudi Arabia, I think, is getting like millions.
I forgot her name, but I know who you're talking about. I saw the story.
But there's stuff like that that's happening, and they were asking me too, and all these other players, and I'm like, yo, right now I'm trying to make this team the best I can. So I can't even go to Saudi Arabia right now. I don't even got time for that right now.
I would love to see your goal celebrations at Al Etihad.
Can you imagine? You would never see me more well behaved in my life.
A lot of handshaking is the sound.
They're gonna be like, hey, less twerking, low. A little bit less.
Also, you don't have to salute us all every time you do it. You're like, I don't know what's happening. You guys are all getting one. I just want to make it home.
It's you know, we mentioned like celebrations, but that is a huge part of the Labonte brand. And
it is the sizzle that sells the steak.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, sometimes it's like to say, we don't talk about the steak enough sometimes. You are an incredibly effective and influential player for your team. I mean, I see the pinged passes or the perfect through balls you lay off.
Hey, you don't get the celly if you don't score. So it just goes to show how effective you are.
Exactly. So, I mean, as a midfield, I guess maybe it says a lot to, you know, maybe I'm not going to have the most opportunities to score. So I got to make it a bit of a show when I do get those opportunities. Are there any, I have the favorites, obviously the pulled hammy twerk.
Iconic.
There's always an iconic one. The being held up. I forgot.
Not break dancing.
Dirty dancing. Yeah. I mean, those are classics. Are there any, those I would imagine are all pretty well received. Are there any celebrations that you've done that some people are like, hey, Lo, I don't know about that one. You went a little too far there.
I think other than the twerk one.
Okay.
I think at first everybody was like, this is hype. And then I would get some other responses where it's like, Ronaldo would never. And I'm like, get out of here with the bare knees to Ronaldo.
Ronaldo should never. Also,
don't nobody want to see that, bro.
But I think the only other one that someone was kind of questionable on was my like wedgie one.
Yeah, that was a classic.
But I was like, I could have got the sliders too. You could have got two cheeks for free. Like,
I know, right? Bruh.
I was like, that was pretty deep. That was deep.
You don't even have to clear your search history after this.
Have you ever been yellow carded for any celebration?
No, and there, it's funny. I got a lot of pushback when people started copying them in other leagues. Right. And then there was a football player in the NFL who did it, and he got fined like $30,000 or something like that. Like each twerk was $10,000. And someone was like, Labonte wasn't fined. And I was like, whoa, stay in your lane. I don't get paid that much to be fined.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Get out of there.
I can't afford $10,000 per clap. Her cheek clap, bro. This is crazy.
I was like Will Smith. I was like, keep mom out your mouth. Yeah, you know?
But that must be somewhat flattering that you do a celebration and all of a sudden all these people from other sports are not copying it.
Yeah, I mean, it was hype. Like, if that's my legacy, that's my legacy. I think the twerk alone probably is, but if all goal celebrations are, it just means that people are finding that I found joy in the game and they're also doing that. So that, if that's my legacy, I'll take it.
I also love that you're pushing the boundaries. I think this happens to us all the time with jokes, you know, especially me trying to do jokes on Morning Footy. Sometimes it's like, hey, I don't think you can say that. And then after you say it, they're like, oh, okay, that was okay. Everyone's okay with it now, you know?
Like, if you got like 7 retweets, you're good.
Yeah. Once they see engagement, you're good.
Yeah. That's funny.
When you come up with some of these celebrations, not just that, just the way you interact with other players, you seem to be the one that kind of brings joy to the locker room, to the other players, you know, maybe lessens some of the stress that's generally involved. Is that part of your game? Are you use that sometimes to get in the head of the defender, you know, where like nothing bothers you, but then secretly you're trying to, you know what I mean, kind of get their brain off of the game a little bit?
Yes and no. I think it's funny because I can like sit here and banter with you guys all day, whereas I go in the game, I don't really say much to the other team. Like if I hit like, you know, there's about to be a pressure pocket and I'll see a pass is about to be played, I'll be like, player, player. So like she knows I'm on her. But other than that, like I wish I knew how to get into people's heads, but they're like, ma'am, you're like 4 foot nothing. Like, go over there.
We're just going to move you over here. Yeah, exactly.
But it didn't, you know, watching the either drills or training that you were doing in off season, I didn't get that sense at all. I'm like, yo, low talks. Jeez. Yeah. I don't know if it was just for the cameras or whatever, but there was a fair amount of at least banter or trying to get under people's skin to show that competitive edge.
Yeah, practice, I would say, is different than the games, because in practice, I will constantly get on my teammates or the people I'm training with because it raises another level. It does make them better when you put that fire under them a little bit. But in the game, I don't want the other team to have any motivation. I don't want to be the one that is motivating them. Like, I want you to play your worst, and I'm going to applaud you after when we win.
Okay.
Yeah. Hit him with the, wow, not your day today, huh? And then you walk away. Yeah. Yeah. Real light. I like that.
I wonder, like, when teams are, when you score against them and then they see you do a wedgie celebration, are they not a little bit motivated after that? Or, like, does anybody say anything on the pitch?
No, I've never had someone celebrate in my face. I've had teams obviously score against us, do a celebration. I'm like, I would do the same thing. I love that. But nobody has been in my face just because I don't think my celebrations are ever targeted or directed at a team. You know, we're usually doing something with our teammates. It's about us, but I've never done anything. And now, like, as I'm saying this, I'm like, what could I do? You know? Am I the villain?
Are we the baddies?
Oh my god. So I mean, not to bring it down,
because we have to talk about last year.
We have to talk about last year, and obviously, you know, it was interesting for me watching, I mean, the Kansas City Current and the Orlando Pride throughout the season. That was like,
yeah,
you know, watching
the
Liverpool Man City games every time. Like, these are the top two all the time, and really, we really want to see how they compete against each other. And obviously, in the playoffs, it didn't go your guys' way. But then there's just the storyline is almost too difficult to not really, you know, at least discuss, right? I mean, the NWSL Championship is being held at your team stadium.
The first ever, so you know, soccer specific stadium for women's soccer,
and
it would have been what a crowning moment it would have been.
Yes, and then I'm watching the NWSL Championship, and you're on the sideline doing coverage for it. And there's, I know, I'm like
standing on like four apple boxes.
Lo is furious, and she is forcing that smile right now. So what?
You saw the tears come down my eyes, did you?
All your analysis is like, well, I wouldn't have done it that way.
But the, you know, looking back on it, and then obviously we can also look forward to the next season. But I mean, how are you kind of dealing and coping with everything and how it all turned out?
In one word, tequila. In a longer description. No, I think when you look back at last year, I mean, you said it perfectly. These teams were both, Orlando and us, were both very effective the entire year. We actually had a preseason game against them too. So we knew from that second that Orlando was going to be great last year, like very good. And then going throughout, like, I think we were the two teams that were definitely consistent the whole year. And those, I think, are championship teams. So kudos to them. But I think it wasn't as bitter of an ending for us because of everything we had accomplished. I mean, we got the Golden Boot on our team. We had the MVP on our team. We set new records as a team, the most goal scorers on ever on a team. So when you look back, we did really well. And a lot of people forget that we were a new team last year. We had all these new players. We had a completely new staff. So what we were able to accomplish in that year is beyond anything that anybody could ever dreamed of. So looking at that, we're like, oh, now we're kind of the same team this year. So we're definitely going to be dangerous because all we have to do is fix certain things. We've added more tools to our box. So I'm excited, and I have nothing but positive things to say looking back on last year going into this new season.
Yeah, I feel like you guys are coming into something which is rare in I think American soccer, men or women, is being able to keep a good team together. It's so difficult with the way the rules are structured to be able to keep a team together. And that's obviously you guys are doing that. And you're a big part of that. You know, as you get to these later stages of your career, obviously you're going to be playing for a long time as long as you stay healthy. I think you're great. But are you starting to think about what happens afterwards? Because, you know, Christian mentioned third Cooligan is quite possible. I thought you were great on Morning Footy. Yeah. Like, you've got media is just waiting for you. I could see a Lola Bonta YouTube channel. I'd watch it, you know. What are your plans? What are your hopes? Movies, action movies. What do you want to do?
I know when Christian brought up the Cooligans thing, I was like, is this an interview for me? Like, is this a job interview? No, I think what I love is obviously whenever it does come that I'm done playing to stick around the game. I think soccer has some of the best personalities in the sport. I want to grow soccer in America. So if that's broadcast, is that media? We'll see when we get to that point. And that's why I think I'm dabbling in it now, seeing what I like. I mean, I guess I'm an actress after the off season. I'll add that to my resume. But no, it is fun. I'm such a people person. So I would never just want to completely leave the sport. I would never want to be a coach. Have you seen those hours? Ugh, no, thank you. So yeah, we'll see. And like I said, keep a job slot open for me. I'll be around.
Okay. Ooh, perfect. All right.
The world know.
And it's interesting when we've never met your husband, obviously, Roger Espinoza, but legendary Sporting Kansas City guy. Like, you know, when we started.
Wigan legend.
Yeah, yeah. When we started the podcast, he was just like one of the, like, you know, there's a guys that get stuck in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of this sport.
Hard men.
Yeah. Hard men. Yeah.
Feet concrete, you know?
So it's interesting because I don't think I've even seen many interviews with him or anything. And then it just seems like getting to know you.
Can I tell you what I picture the Labonta and Espinoza household is Roger sitting on the couch with his feet up and you bouncing around, hopping on him, hopping off. Throwing pillows at the guys.
Oh my God.
It just seems like a really fun duo.
Yeah. How close did I hit?
Bro, I'm going to tell him this and he's going to bust up laughing. Like, it is completely true, you know, because he obviously was a player as well. So that's why I think we were very good, like, knowing each other's schedules, temperaments, all that. But it is funny. I am a morning person, I'm a night person, but he is not a morning person at all. So like the sun comes up and I'm just like staring at him waiting for him to wake up in bed.
Smiling.
As soon as he stirs, I'm like, all right, what are you doing? And he's like, Jesus Christ.
You need to meet my wife. She is like, I'm like, how, where are you getting this energy from? I haven't even pooped yet. This is crazy.
Oh my God,
so funny.
Amazing.
Yeah, we talk about reality shows. That's already one that could exist, I think.
Please, I need to see it.
I must say, you mentioned some of your teammates, and obviously, Temo Chiwenga, I do want to
baller
mention her as well.
God, literally goddess.
Yeah, having her on your team,
my MVP vote, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Is it? you know, sometimes there's sometimes, you know, players are brought to teams and there's a certain like, oh, yeah, we know they're good and whatever. And we see what they do on the pitch. But I'm curious, as a teammate, because you've sent her some just incredible passes. Is there a feeling of like, I just need to send a rock up there and she'll figure it out? What relief does she offer to you, to the team, in being able to do the things that she does?
There aren't many people that can do what Temel can do. I mean, Banda is right there with her. Banda has a whole other set of skills too. But in terms of Temel, it is crazy. The amount of line passes I've had, and we joke about it at practice too, you know, like, the keepers are punting a ball or someone will shank a shot and it will go to the other field. We will all be like, Temwa, because you know she's going to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
So no matter what, she will find a way to get to the ball. She's so hard to defend. But she's also, like, I know people may go on interviews and say this, but, like, she is genuinely one of the best teammates ever. She is so humble. She'll work for you defensively. She's not upset when you don't give her a good pass because – she's just like, it's all right. You tried to find me. You'll get me another one. Like I asked for the club to sign her for 10 years. Apparently in the league, it's a 5-year max contract. So
what are you, what is like, it Chelsea down. Football club?
No, right, no.
Right, right.
All right. low Bowley over here.
Yeah. I was trying to get the agent cut too. I was like, come on.
Incredible. Yeah, no, it's obviously very evident watching on the pitch. But yeah, there's a you know, a lot of people just ask her the questions directly, but I'm always curious, like, what teammates feel about playing with players that are just clearly exceptional.
Yeah, it's gotta feel good to know there's a player on your team where you can't actually make a bad pass to, you know what I mean?
100%.
Yes, she'll get to anything. I think when we had the Summer Cup final against Gotham, I had played her, like, I was trying to slip her through, but the ball came off the ground, hit her in the quad. She touched it through and then finished. I was like, I'm getting an assist on a shitty pass. That's amazing.
Insane. What a luxury.
So funny. The one thing that I also loved in offseason, and I mentioned this to Midge and Taylor when they were here, is that it showed a side of players disliking each other at times. And obviously, clearly, a lot of friendship and a lot of laughs and all this stuff.
The camaraderie is always talked about, but no one talks about the other side.
Yeah, but on the, you know, when you guys were training, there was like, oh, she's upset or whatever. Like, you clearly saw a different side. You know, you are a player that shows the positivity of the game very, very well with the celebrations and just with the showmanship. But then there's a part of me as just a sports fan, we love the drama as well. We love that even, you know, quote unquote negativity, that fiery competitiveness. Is that something that exists in the game, in NWSL, but we just don't, it's just not publicized? And if it is not publicized, why? Why do you think that is, and should that change?
Absolutely should change. I think, you know, if we're sitting here and just being like, oh, it's all flowers and rainbows, like, it's the exact opposite of that. I think people come out here and grind and work so hard, tackle each other in training because they want to be on the field. They want to be playing that game at the end of the weekend. So off camera, it is so intense. I think when you get into the game, there's players, I'm trying to remember, it was like a huge debacle a few years ago where there were like players talking trash on the field and then it went to like Twitter. I'm like, we need that in the game because that just shows like when they're not doing that for the drama, they're doing that because they care, they fight, they want to win. They're like, if I'm not winning on the field, I'm gonna beat you on Twitter. Like, yeah, yeah. You know, yeah. We need that stuff. That's what grows the game. The men's side has it. I think the women's side is the same thing. So finally putting, you know, focusing on that and seeing that is, I think, huge for the game.
Yeah. And I look, I know you obviously have stuff that you want to get to. So I want to make sure to give you the platform here. Like we talked a little bit in the beginning about how the game is growing so much. The game is, you know, it feels like it's catching up to where we all would have expected it to be a few years ago. Players are getting paid a lot. There's now specific stadiums for the women's game. All this is great. From the inside out, what do you think is the next thing that needs to be leveled up? Is there one thing that we in the media or just the fans don't get to see or maybe just aren't focusing on that you think needs to level up next, which will help make the game a little better?
Yeah, I mean, there's how much time you got, but if we're to focus on one, I think Merritt Mathias recently had come out and said this, that people in our league focus on players, not so much teams. So I think, you know, when you focus on, or when you talk about the men's side, you're like Man City, you're not just talking about one player. So that would be for Orlando, Bandera, Marta. It's like you need to talk about Orlando as the right team. Like I think the American League is growing so much that teams are starting to develop their own style of plays. So I just want Americans to know like the soccer education part, you know, mm-hmm. not just when our league posts about like someone doing a bicycle kick, that's not actually a bicycle kick. You know what I'm saying? Like you guys are soccer fans, so you see these things. I'm like, how do we educate Americans that seven scissors staying in the same spot is not actually good soccer?
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
Cause it's the big play. It's, you know,
well, it's a highlight culture versus,
or like, I know Alex Morgan, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Or like player. This team plays this way. Like you're talking about, like, I know what to expect when a Nottingham Forest game comes on or right. when a Barcelona yes. game comes on. It yeah. should be the same way. Like, all right, Washington Spirit going to play this way. Casey's going to play this way. Gotham going to play this way. Yeah, that's kind of cool. You don't often think about that.
Sure. All right. Just to wrap up, we had a question from our Patreon, our supporters group. We call them Gully Squad.
That's the Gully Squad.
Lura McCoy in the Discord. Everybody, get on the Discord if you have not yet. Lura McCoy says, any new celebration dances planned for this year? And I know you don't have to. You're not going to reveal them, so we don't expect that. But I guess I'll rework the question and just maybe say, what inspires you to get the celebration and pick a certain celebration?
Yeah, there's usually no process at all.
It's not a committee or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's like six people on a couch as you're twerking. Like, is this too much? I'm thinking of bringing this one out.
Wedgie, you do the wedgie. Yeah, you're like, hey, is this
what are we doing here?
And they're like, hey, we're working.
No, I think the only one, honestly, I've ever really planned is that twerk one because I did not in the league score as much as I am scoring now in the last couple of years. So I would never have a goal celebration planned. And now I'm like, oh, I should probably have some in my back pocket. And I'm truly worried when I, like, there was one game this past season, I had two goals in one game. And I was like, oh no, what's my next? Like after I scored, I was like, what am I doing next? But I would say right now, the only process is me trying to get other teammates to think of what their goal celebration is. We have like Rocky Rodriguez we just signed. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Like, I'll start those conversations. Mine is probably going to be, you know, a last second thing. I'm working on my teammates right now.
I like this. You know, there's a throwing coach, right? There's a set piece coach. And now we've added the Selly coach, bro.
The Selly coach is going to watch other teams start incorporating and hiring somebody specifically to do this.
The XC, the expected celebrations is up on Kansas City.
Incredible. I had this. Another question, just out of curiosity, given that the Kansas City Current were formerly the Utah Royals and the Royals are back, you've had an interesting career. But this what's different? What was the low Labonta at Utah like, and what's the low Labonta at KC like? What any big differences?
Well, I can go to the liquor store on Sunday now.
Right. Easier to get coffee.
Exactly. What's the difference? Well, I think I've kind of solidified who I am as a player. Whereas when I was at Utah, you know, I had a lot of big stars around me. I had Press, O'Hara, so many players, and I kind of had to adjust my game for them. Whereas now what I bring to the table helps the overall team. It's not just one player that I'm helped, other than, like I said, Temwa Chiwenga. That ball is going wherever she is, that ball is going there. But I am who I am as a player now, and the team kind of works around that. So I would say that's the main thing. But I'm just as loud, just as crazy. Not much has changed.
Love Let's it. Yeah. All right. Lo Labonta or Lo Eau Labonta.
Hey!
I wanted to make sure I got that in. I'm not gonna try your middle name. I know I might be sure.
That was perfect.
But absolute honor to have you here. And you know, I can speak for Alexis and the rest of the crew. You're welcome here anytime. Single time. Anything.
Open door policy.
I don't care if you want to promote some, you know, athleisure brand. You're welcome to do that.
Yeah.
At any time.
You could pull up a container of powder you mix in your water. Whatever.
Hey, get Lola Bonta creatine.
Yeah.
But you're the absolute best, and we wish you the best this season. So keep it up.
Watching.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you guys are amazing. Thank you.
Hey, what an interview, huh?
Absolutely. I told when I reached out to Lo about having her on the show, I literally apologized to her and I said, this is long overdue. You should have been on this show years ago.
Right. It's our fault.
It's 100% our fault. And it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes you don't it's not always on top of mind. Sometimes people reach out to us or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things of like, oh, maybe this person doesn't even know who we are. Maybe they're not even interested. And she's like, yeah, I follow you guys. And so this is just a message to other NWSL players. If you're a fan of the show, what are you doing not hitting us up?
Let us know. If you want to do this show, you got to let us know. We want you on the show.
Without a doubt.
There's a few people in this world that even over Zoom, you get the same energy you would have when they're in. She's one of those people.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So shout out to Lola Bonta.
Shout out to Lola Bonta.
Wishing the best.
Also, shout out to Washington Spirit, huh?
That's right. With the Challenge Cup.
Yeah.
They win the Challenge Cup in a little rematch of the NWSL Championship.
Okay.
They end up winning in penalties. A beautiful goal from Lacey Santos.
It ended 1-1 and then it goes to penalties. First two Pride players miss.
But it's interesting, and we should talk about where the Challenge Cup is in our minds right now. Like, how significant is it? How important is it? You know, the last season it was the Wave winning it at Red Bull Arena against Gotham. Were you at that game?
I don't think I could go to that game.
At the game, and I'm like, you know, I'm watching the Wave celebrate on the pitch, and I'm like, all right. It's not the NWSL championship.
It still feels like you ain't really do nothing yet. Because the beginning of the season, it has that community shield effect.
Yes, but it's like if you win it, it's an important trophy. If you lose it, it didn't matter to anybody, right?
I think the cool thing for a player is like it ushers in the competitive season. It's the start of the competitive season.
Right.
Because now this match means something. It's, you know, Mikel Arteta in the past has said like, well, those games are finals, right? Because it's a final. There's something on the line. It doesn't feel like what's on the line is all that significant. Unless there's a way to like brand this and that helps. Maybe the players make more money. I'm kind
of
not.
Well, I did see. I believe Jeff Kasouf of Equalizer had reported like that the prize money, I believe, is $3,500 for each player on the winning team. And I think like $2,500 or like $2,200 on the play. And it just sounds like such a little amount of money. It's not nothing.
That's rent.
It's right.
That's not bad.
I ain't mad at it.
I'm not poo-pooing it.
When I think of professional athletes, I'm just like, I mean, if they said like, 10K per player, then I'd be like, all right.
I think there was more. Had it not been for charity, I think the players in the Sidemen match.
Oh, yeah.
Probably would make more per person.
Possibly.
Yeah. I feel like maybe the league needs to do a bit better job of getting a brand attached to this to up that money.
Yeah, it's challenging because, no pun intended.
That's the name. Yeah.
Because it is the first game of the season. And again, how it's usually held at the NWSL championship team's stadium.
Right.
So that it wasn't a sold out game. And the same thing last year, when Gotham hosted it, it wasn't a sold out game. So it's difficult to try to find the ways to get people. It is the amuse-bouche for the NWSL regular season. Right. And it's only...
Bro, Christian knowing what an amuse-bouche is. Now that...
I learned...
Carter, what is happening on the show?
I learned from watching the food expert, Alexis Guerreros. And so I think it does its job in that case. And I will say, I think it's a good preview of the NWSL season, mainly because since Orlando won the championship and the Shield, the second place team.
Right. So it's a rematch.
So it's a rematch of the NWSL championship. And you already sensed that.
Right.
Because we all know the iconic image of Trinity Rodman on the pitch being the angry kind of thumbs up.
Great. Everyone's having a good time. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
And so you sort of felt like they especially for the Spirit.
You know,
like,
Michelle Kang was on the phone like, we need to get the money up for this damn thing, bro. Do I gotta sponsor this too?
So you sense that animosity and a little bit of revenge.
Nice.
that the Spirit wants.
I like that. I like that in the game, bro.
So it was good to see. All right.
Let's talk MLS, bro.
MLS had a nice weekend of fixtures. A bunch of big games. We went to
congratulations to us, bro.
Yeah, congratulations. We went to the
10th anniversary game for New York City.
Well, it wasn't the official 10th anniversary game, but it's
the 10th anniversary celebration of home opener.
The 10th home opener. Mm-hmm. Andrea Pirlo's on the pitch. Quadro Poku was really the one.
People went crazy when you said Poku. Poku like the heart and soul, bro.
For real. It's just something. I mean, I think it shows a lot about the connection to the history of the team, because we know the big names, the Lampard, Villa, Pirlo. We know the big names and we know what sells the tickets, but people are just like, nah, Poku was, he brought something to this club that a lot of people.
There was something special about
him.
Yeah.
So that was awesome to see. So
we should actually start with the recent picture.
Okay.
Because we took a picture. There's us. Yes. Right? This is us at the game, 10th anniversary. This is towards the end of the match, by the way, which is why the stands are a little empty, right? We couldn't get up to this area right away. But the reason we took this picture is because 10 years ago, me, you, and your lady, plus a former comedian and friend of ours who used to come to the games.
Evan Davis. He's still covering NWSL. And he's living in LA.
But he came to the game with us. But 10 years ago, we took this photo.
Mm-hmm.
Look at us.
Right there. Look at us.
First of all, I look the same. You, buddy. You look like you haven't hit puberty yet in this picture. It's crazy.
No, there's a little slight differences. I mean, there's a little bit more gray in your beard.
A little more gray in my beard. And maybe the corners of my hairline have slipped back just a tiny bit.
My face is chubbier now. I put on like a little 10 to 15 pounds.
Daddy weight, bro.
Daddy, I mean, sure, I guess.
Is that what they call it? I had that
my metabolism finally slowing down.
Yeah, it's about damn time, bro. You know how long I've been the fat one on the show? We need to get you catching up.
But no, man, this is this was the first game. This was a game against New England Revolution, and this was March. I forgot the exact date, but
2015.
In 2015, So I mean, this is before the Cooligans existed.
Exactly. This was maybe three matches before I said to you, hey, I got this idea.
Sure.
And you were like, I think I want to ruin my next decade by working with you.
So
Cool, man.
Yeah, it's been quite.
Go back to the current one. The look current at this.
It's been quite the journey. The glow up is real.
Right.
But it's been, you know, it's even yesterday was like.
You have the same jacket on?
I do not have this.
Oh, okay. I was about to say.
I don't. What jacket do I have on? Go back to the other one. What was I wearing? I was wearing a black vest with a hoodie. Yeah.
You love vests. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
You're a big vest guy.
So, but yeah.
I guess your arms don't get cold. I don't know what happens.
So, but yeah, it's been like an emotional. I think on Saturday it was like seeing Poku, I was just like, go check out NYCFC Forever. I was just on their podcast.
The homies.
That came out today.
Some of
today.
Those guys hated us back then.
Won them over. But it does show a lot of like, just the fact that we're still here doing this, and then it became a job and we're at Yahoo now and all this other stuff. But again, none of it happens if that club is not here in New York. That
us going to this to these games is what started us on this road. And if you're listening to the show and you happen to love what we do, it's because we sat next to each other at the game. I called you and I said, hey, man, you know, this is team starting. Yeah, the tickets are super inexpensive. And look at where we are now. So shouts to Yahoo, bro. Shouts to everybody who's been a part of this whole run. But a fun game, too. It was felt celebratory, even though it was a draw. It was a fun game.
It was a win. They won 2-1.
I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. It was a win. Jesus Christ.
What are you celebrating? You're celebrating a win.
I'm still thinking of Arsenal. No, no, it was a big win. It was a fun time.
Yeah, I mean, I think the standout was Johnny Shore. He was player of the match. But
what is he 17?
17 years old.
Absolutely incredible.
Academy player. And getting the opportunity to NYCFC does not really start like very young players like that.
Not recently. In the past, they have, right? James Sands, Justin Hawk had some opportunities.
I don't know. I was asking the guys yesterday at NYCFC Forever. I don't know if Johnny. I don't think Johnny Shore is officially the youngest player ever to play for NYCFC or at least start.
But he feels like a much more part of the team than when James Sands first came in.
Sure. It's for a 17-year-old. Again, this is something we're just like not really used to. You're not really used to seeing it from a lot of MLS clubs, but definitely NYCFC to have a midfielder that has a lot of possession and control of the game and involved in kind of in buildup.
And to seem so essential.
And making like breaking lines, great passes into
risky
the box.
Passes, it's just slick, like slick moves
for a 17-year-old. It's just like we're just not used to seeing this as fans. Mm-hmm. And I think for we get ahead of ourselves sometimes. But sometimes I'm like, yo, okay, this kid's 17 now. He could do this now. Yeah. Like, all right, USMNT, you watching now?
Right, exactly.
It's already getting pretty hyped up about it. But it was great to see. And look, Alonso Martinez and scoring a goal, Hannes Wolf. It was just a fun game and a much needed win for NYCFC. Right. So.
In fact, speaking of MLS, man, some of these teams have really started on a heater,
and some have not.
Yeah. Ooh, there's some teams struggling.
We got to start there. We'll start with LA Galaxy because they've lost 3 in a row to start the season. And now, officially, they have the record. They are the first MLS Cup champions to lose 3 games in a row. The previous 2 that had the record before, which was 2 losses, which was DC United and Toronto FC.
It's a rough start. I mean, this is the part of MLS that I hate the most, which is a championship team can't really hold on to their team.
Yeah, I got it. You know what we got to do? And I got to maybe dedicate some time. Maybe we do a video or get somebody on the show. I actually want to talk to somebody, whether it's like a Paul Tenorio or a GM, of like, when you win MLS Cup, what is the penalty? Like, what is it that they exactly do? Because Galaxy have gotten rid of, I believe, 5 of their starters from the MLS Cup.
Marco Delgado gone. I mean, we actually witnessed this during the City Hall thing when NYCFC players were being honored. Apparently at that moment, or maybe earlier in that day, it was announced like teams had to announce what players aren't a part of their roster.
Yeah.
So there was one or two who got very emotional at that. And we were like, what a sour situation for this to be.
Yeah.
You know, like the timing of it is just terrible. It just sucks that there needs to be something. And I guess it's good for parity and that you don't have the same, you know, team winning year after year after year. I don't know that it's so much a penalty. It's just that's the roster rules.
Yeah. Oh, but I would love to know what the rules are. Is the cap lower for you? Do you have to, like, what is the actual... Why do they have to get rid of Marky Delgado? Like, these important players.
I don't think that they suffer more of a cap hit or anything than other teams. I just think the rules don't allow these teams to stay together. And they double down by keeping them. So now you have to remove them. You know what I'm saying?
I understand that. But you're saying the rules don't allow them to keep teams together.
The general rules for everybody.
What is the rule?
I don't think there's a rule for you won, so now X happens to you.
And that's the main
thing.
And I don't think you have the answer to this question. That's why I'm saying.
No. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm offering a different assumption.
I want to know what the rule is. Like, so let's say you win MLS Cup. Is it because now the players are renegotiating contracts and are saying, like, we need more money, and then that's why they have to get rid of them? Like, that maybe that's what it is. I don't know exactly.
You don't think it's the same cap is the same cap issues that every team suffers at the end of a season where they, like, just can't keep a team together?
Because
Daniel Lee said in the interview that I had with him where he said, we decided to double down on our players and we took a really massive hit across the next few years because of it. Because after we wanted to keep our championship team together.
But why does it seem like MLS Cup winners have to get rid of more players? Is that just coincidence?
I think every team has to get rid of players, it seems so much more egregious when you're the winner. You're like, oh, why do they got to get rid of these players?
Maybe that's what it is.
Everyone else is like, we got to get rid of players.
So, yeah, we got to talk to somebody.
Let's get Boger or Tenorio in here to explain it.
I would love to know the specific because it is kind of strange. But, yeah, Galaxy are, it's weird to say it, but a team that just won MLS Cup a few months ago. That they look awful.
They look awful.
And yeah, hopefully, you know.
You don't want to be the West Coast Montreal.
Sure. Look, every season there's a new quote unquote Montreal or whatever.
It's usually Montreal. Club the foot, bro.
They have the up and down seasons. But
it's also the beginning of MLS, and I say this all the time. I don't know if you say this. First 10 matches don't matter, bro. That's preseason.
I do not say this. I think they do matter, and they matter a lot when you get to the end of the season and you're fighting for these playoff spots.
It's too long of a season, bro. Trust me. I promise you the first 10 matches do not matter.
I don't even know.
Where were LA Galaxy last year, the first 10 matches?
Last year, they weren't this bad. They didn't lose the first three.
They were trash. And look at where they ended.
I gotta look. I don't know.
Look it up.
The season prior, they were bad. The last season, they were not that awful. They don't even have like an identity. Like, they don't have the identity they just had a couple months ago.
Maybe Greg Vanney's done this so much, he's like, everybody relax. We got to all star.
It's just so wild to win MLS Cup and then go back to like panic mode of like trying to explain these losses. Marco Royce looked better and had more responsibility.
He seems like he's more a part of the team now. It felt like coming in midway through the season or towards the end of the season, he really almost didn't know what his role is. Now he's understanding.
But they look bad in CONCACAF Champions Cup. They look bad in MLS. It's like, I'm ringing some alarm bells because I don't know.
It's a little early.
Some people are saying they might miss the playoff.
First 10 matches last season, Galaxy had 5 wins, 3 draws, 2 losses. They were very good.
Okay. Maybe I was remembering the season before. Not a great. They were good. They're pretty good. But alarm bells now that they're going to miss the playoffs is insane.
All right. A couple other things.
Also, Card, if I'm ever wrong, just don't. Just don't respond. We could have let that one go.
Just omit some stuff.
If I'm editing all that out, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'm going to sit next to you.
The other match we got to talk about, Seattle Sounders put up a 5 spot. I got 5 on it.
Wow.
A classic.
Ask your uncle.
Go look it up, kids.
Ask your uncle.
A little Lunis.
Lunis? The Loonies.
The Loonies? That's what they were called. I called the Lunis.
Did you? Like a Latino kid?
Yeah, bro. I know how to read.
No, it's the Loonies, bro.
Anyway.
You crazy.
You
crazy. Hold on. Loonies.
Jordan Morris, he scored 5 goals. Some spectacular goals. Paul Rothrock had an incredible goal. But the goal from Jordan Morris. Jordan Morris get his 87th goal for the Seattle Sounders. He is now the record holder.
I'm
going to
put you on
holder.
The spot. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Record holder. I want to make you to finish this. I'm gonna put you on. I'm gonna put you on the spot. We've talked a lot about Jordan Morris's career, right? Shouldn't he have gone to Europe and blah, blah, blah. Obviously, he goes, gets injured, comes back.
Yeah.
This time, but before he didn't want to go. Looking at this, right? A guy who grew up loving this team, a guy who grew up a local kid wanting to play for this team, gets to play for this team, is now the record holder for scoring the most goals for this team. Give me a score from 1 to 10 on how you rate Jordan Morris's Seattle Sounders career.
It sounds his career. I gotta say it's a 9.
It's a 9 or a 10.
It's spectacular.
How do you rate his
winning
whole career?
2 titles, I believe, right?
How do you rate his whole career though?
His whole career.
Is there something missing, you think?
I will say that.
And this only happens with Jordan Morris, as you think.
Yeah.
Because
I was going to make this point regardless.
There were opportunities to go to Europe. And so that I think a lot of people who've known Jordan Morris's career from the beginning still have this like this little asterisk still.
Right. And you know, we had a lot of fun with it when the whole Jermaine Jones. Right.
He might not have, but IG we had a lot of fun with it. Yeah.
But we spoke to Jordan about it and he was cool about it.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. I think right now. He is kind of turning his career around. I think he's been he was fantastic last season.
Yeah.
He's becoming a very important attacker for the Seattle Sounders, mm-hmm. and a big reason they score the goals that they get. Even when they had Nico Lodero and Rui Diaz, and he was still really a part of the offensive structure of that team.
Especially in the beginning of last season when there was a couple injuries and he really carried the load.
So I will say, this, whether it's a hot take or not, I think we should be thinking about Jordan Morris returning to the national team. And given all the injury situations we have up front, I don't think it's like
Look, as a striker,
up top or on the wing, maybe on the bench, or just as an option. He is offensively, I think, looking great, and that's the blemish on his career so far. That I would say his national team career has just been so underwhelming, and he's had a couple decent moments here.
He's had opportunities,
but injuries it just hasn't worked. But I think it might work with a roster like this. He wasn't playing with these guys.
Knowing that Balogun is out and Ricardo Pepi's out, I still think this opens the door for Josh Sargent. I don't think.
Roster is on the top of the list. Yeah. There. But it wouldn't be crazy. Jordan Morris
getting called up. A spot on the bench.
Not crazy.
Huh. You know what? I hadn't thought about that. I could see that. I still feel like, I don't know that I put him even in the top two or three. I'm trying to think about what that. I don't think it's a dunk. I don't think he's above a Duncan McGuire. I think he's above a Duncan McGuire. I don't think Duncan McGuire is above him even anymore. Yeah, yeah. Daryl Dike is just sort of getting back.
From Charlotte. Ajumayang.
Ajumayang.
I think I pronounced it. Apologies. I'm not getting it right. But you know
what I'm talking about. Maybe. Whatever it is. I apologize. we'll get it right. He's suddenly catapulted himself up.
Yeah.
But I could see Jordan Morris getting a shout.
He's a different player now and has a different maturity than he did before.
Maybe Brandon Vasquez is still above him. Maybe. Because of what he's done in the past.
Yeah. Huh. I think he's
in the mix.
I would love to see it because even Brandon Vasquez at Austin hasn't really been that impressive just yet. And I like his tone, his leadership. He's
a veteran now.
And a veteran. And he's just, I think he would bring something, even if it's not necessarily on the pitch for the U.S. men's national team, that I think is worth taking a look at. So I hope Pochettino is at least watching some of these games and seeing what he's capable of and what he's doing. And maybe there might be a fit there. So, and more than anything, career-wise, it's just that tearing his ACL at Swansea was like the, what, man? Like, how much more bad luck does this kid need?
Because that was a real opportunity for him to shine.
And if he didn't get hurt, and we were already seeing a lot of the tweets from Swansea fans, like, who is this kid? Oh, this kid's doing great. This American or whatever. And the main thing, he was like, he is insanely fast. And even after tearing both ACLs,
he's still stupid fast.
And so that is just something that is useful. And I think, again, the quality of his finishing, I think, has also improved, which is why, like, I'm lightly campaigning for Jordan Morris.
I can see it. I don't hate it.
Getting
good
some
call.
Interest. And final thing before we wrap up, San Diego FC, another big shock. Three games unbeaten. They beat LA Galaxy 3-0 at the dig.
Yeah.
And this is just a team with no an injured Chukwuelo. Oh no, I'm sorry. St. Louis beat LA Galaxy. San Diego played. Who did San Diego play?
They did win though.
They won 3-0 to who? Apologies, sir. We didn't write it down in the rundown. But anyway, but San Diego did look.
They won 3-1 against Real
Salt Lake. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So they drew against St. Louis City 0-0.
Yeah.
But they beat LA Galaxy and they beat Real Salt Lake.
And I think in impressive fashion. I mean, there is.
Dude, Anders Dreyer.
Anders Dreyer. But I think
he's been a beast.
But doing this without Chucky Lozano, I think, was impressive on its own. But they're playing with like. It's not even about like a freedom and confidence and blah, blah, blah. It's not all that. It's just like they for an expansion team, they play pretty pragmatic. They play just like simple. And I think it's like, it's one of those things of like the players are still getting to know each other. They don't take too many risks and they're getting and finishing their opportunities when they get them. So
it's like all jokes aside, because I think when a new team comes, everyone wants them to bring in like get Mbappe, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, they go out and get a guy like Luca Della Torre.
at the end of the day, that's like a really sharp purchase for an MLS club. Like, there's a team, here's a guy that clearly is of the level of like a mid-table European club, like Celta Vigo or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Clearly can play there. Comes to MLS, shining.
Yeah.
Smart, middle of the pitch, does the dirty work. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is all really sharp purchases.
Yeah.
It's a smart way to build your club versus say like it's going to be Hollywood, baby, and we're going to get all the biggest names. Yeah.
They, I mean, their issue, they had their, I don't think we talked about it last week, but they had their home game. So overall, San Diego, it seems to be going in a great direction. They seem like the St. Louis from their expansion year.
Yeah.
But they had the grito at the game, the chant, and that they had to tell the fans to not do that.
Please don't do that.
And it brings up the same. Then it's like, no, it's not homophobic, and like the same arguments over and over and over.
Just don't do it.
Just don't do it. I don't.
If your team's gonna get punished for it, whether you like it or not, don't do it.
I yeah. This is just like how long are we going to do this? Like now it becomes either for the Mexican national team. I understand at least the reason that they're doing it out of
we're trying to get you in trouble.
Yeah, we're trying to get you in trouble to teach you a lesson to make this team better. Whether I don't agree with that, but at least I understand the logic behind it. This is their first game. Like I'm not at a stadium. I've been in stadiums where they do that. I'm never like, yeah, that made the game more fun. Yeah. I love that they're being cheeky and being stupid. Like, it's really stupid. And like, you know, we don't need to repeat it. We don't need to say it. You know what our thoughts on it are. But it's a shame on that this team is playing as well as they are and dealing with this. And like, again, hopefully this is like stamped out and sorted out as soon as possible.
Please stop.
It's a blemish on
it's only going to hurt
their success. So, all right, let's wrap up there, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in.
Thank you to Lola Bonta.
Thank you, Lola Bonta, for joining us. She crushed it per usual. And we have another incredible guest on Thursday, Dana Castellanos, who played in a friendly on Friday or something like that, or Saturday. The Thorns played against, I think. I forgot what team, but everybody's speaking very highly of her as well. She played at the 9 and the 10, and you'll see in the interview, she does talk exactly about that. So Dana Castellanos will be on Thursday. So we have a big NWSL week where we're trying to get hyped up and get you hyped up for the season as well. So,
and by the way, we've made a couple changes on YouTube. If you see any of our videos on YouTube, the best thing you could do is hit that like button. Please.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the like button on any Cooligans video you see.
Okay. All right, you've been warned.
Yeah. I'm begging you.
We'll be a real shame you don't hit that like button.
Yeah, yeah, okay? Yeah. Wow, some nice knees you have there.
Okay. So make sure you do it. Subscribe, as always, too. And follow us on Blue Sky. Everything's going on over there. We're posting a lot there, too. All right, we'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.